Welcome to CrossFit Off-Road Podcast, brought to you by Prime Shape Fitness. If you're thinking, man, I wish I could work with Mitch, but I live so far away. Well, guess what? I work with people online. I just finished a session online with four Jeep owners, actually. So if you're hesitant about doing this because you live somewhere else, no problem. I can work with you no matter where you're at. Just reach out to me online at the CrossFit Off-Road Podcast or my main place, Prime Shape Fitness. You can find me on Facebook. Now on to the podcast. First segment of the CrossFit Off-Road Podcast is Can Mitch Fix It? This one is a couple different one of these today. And the first one was, the more things you add to your off-roader, the more things that can go wrong. It's a simple rule. When they build vehicles, there's actually a count of how many parts go into the vehicle for a few different reasons. Just logistics, if you have 1,000 parts versus 500, it's going to cost more. But also for if there's 1,000 parts versus 500, you got 500 extra problems that can happen. So as you most know, I could put an onboard air compressor on my Jeep, and I had a couple things went wrong with it in the first place when I had an airline that got hot and poked a hole in it, so I took the airline out. One less problem. My latest problem, every now and again, when I'm driving the Jeep, I just cycle the air compressor and make sure it's working. That way when I'm off-roading and I want to air my tires back up, it's ready to go. I have the ARB $308 version. I bought that because I got ARB lockers ready to go in. Love to see that happen sometime next before spring. But I have the ARB locker put in. I put it in myself with the help of my buddy Wade. He helped me with the switch panel. It has the compressor button and the front and rear lockers. So it kind of makes it look like it was built stock in 2001. The switches look just like the ones that were in there for the rear wipers. And if you have an automatic, is where the overdrive off button would be. Or if you have the Rubicon TJs, it where the Rubicon has their lockers. So I just bought the ones that look like that. They're in there, ready to go. So the problem was, all of a sudden one day I hit the switch when I'm driving to pick my kid up from school or going somewhere, and nothing happened. I had I couldn't hear the compressor running. So I thought, well, it's one of two things that are probably wrong. Either it's the fuse or the compressor, is what my first initial thought was. Well, if it's a fuse, it's just $5. It's a massive fuse that's in there. I mean, to be honest with you, it's not your standard little guy fuse that you have the tiny little pliers to get out. This is a big one. Must be inch and a half across. I want to say it's 40 amp, 32 watts, somewhere on there. It's a big one. And it's a separate deal from itself. It's right in line on the cord from the battery to the compressor. So what I did is I found it, and I had it tucked away pretty good with a zip tie. So I pulled it back out, repositioned it so I could get at it easier. Looked at the fuse after wiggling it out. It was in there pretty good. Wiggling it out, the fuse did not look bad. And also, the lights were still coming on the switches itself, just not the compressor. Like if I hit the compressor switch, no light was there. But I could see that the locker switches were still lighting up if I hit those. Even though the locker's not in there, it still has some of the switches built in. So long story longer, I'm thinking, well, I hope that this fuse is broken. I'm just not seeing it. So I kind of looked at it a couple different times. I wasn't too stressed about it because I'm thinking we can fix this, and I'm not going to get wound up about stuff like this anymore. I'm just going to, if it's going to cost me another compressor to fix it, fine, whatever. I just got to deal with it. I got to understand things break down after a while. So that was kind of bugging me. That was kind of sitting there. And so what's going to come up later on, too, is I have had another problem with the Jeep, which is some other people might have this problem, too, that my oil all the way underneath my Jeep. I got an oil change done, and there's just oil everywhere. So that's the second half of this podcast is talking about my other problem I had. So I had two problems going on. So text my buddy Wade and say, hey, there's a couple things we got to work on. And he's like, just do it yourself. He's always like, just do it. So without his help, I figured I could handle something. So I started diving into the compressor issue. So I thought, well, what else could it be? What else could it be? And so I'm looking for a second fuse because the bigger compressor, because I have the smaller version, has two fuses on it. But also this one has a relay. So I started looking at the relay a little bit, kind of moved it around a little bit, still no power going to it. So I'm thinking, well, it's either the one of three things now. That kind of really started digging into more researching. Could have been the fuse, the relay, the compressor. My hope it was the fuse, but it didn't look like the fuse. So I removed the fuse and the relay, took them with me to good old O'Reilly's Auto Parts. Took my pickup because I didn't want to take the Jeep because oil all over. Didn't feel like spreading oil all over the earth. So I just took the truck, and I'm glad I took the relay with me and the fuse because then I knew I had the right parts when I left. Obviously, relays can come in all shapes and sizes. Prongs in different spots, different number of nodes on there, all this good stuff. And so, end of the day, though, I'm glad I took it in there. So I went during a Vikings game because it was like, why watch the Vikings? And so I just started, as I'm driving to the Vikings start doing well. It was funny, during the first game of the year. My kid called me, says, hey, wherever you're at, stay there because the Vikings are doing good. So, long story longer, that's what podcasts are all about, is long stories. I get to O'Reilly's, I'm the only person there. Three workers and me, because everybody else is watching a Vikings game. So I had the Vikings going on my phone while these guys are finding a fuse for me, which took 5 seconds, but the relay took like the next 15 minutes. It was like the most secret relay ever, apparently. So guys there start digging into it, get the assistant manager out there, and then one guy would help me go, well, I got this, I can find it. So after a couple of swings and misses, they found the exact match. It just didn't say ARB on it, but it's not going to. So I paid my money. So it was $5 for the fuse, $15 for the relay, $21 with tax, all said and done. So I get back home and I'm thinking the whole time, I'm pretty sure it's a relay. So put the fuse back in, the old fuse, and put the new relay in, fire it up, bam, power. So I was pretty excited about all that because it's better than buying a whole new compressor. So now my strategy is to next keep the new fuse, but also go back and get a spare relay. If it goes out once, it's going to go out again, and it's least likely to go out if I have the spare with me. So my plan is to replace that. Well, keep the obviously the relay that works right now. Throw the old one out, but then go and get a spare. So that's my big plan for that. So now it's back up and running. So I'm pretty excited about that. So on the things of can Mitch fix it? Well, I fixed it. So I was excited about that piece. So now to the next problem we had. But we're gonna take a little short break because I need to drink some water, and then we're gonna talk a bit about my oil issue. I don't like the oil at the bottom of my garage with the oil that's supposed to stay in the Jeep. So more on that in a second. Next up on the Crossroad Off-Road segment, can Mitch fix it? Why is there oil all over the place? So, as I said in the first part of this podcast, I had another issue. Backing up a little bit, every now and again, you got to put oil in these things and do a little work on, oil change and so on. And so, I had an oil change due on my Jeep. I usually put about I thought I put more miles on it than I did, but in reality, I haven't put that many miles on this year. Haven't taken too many long trips just yet. Hopefully, I'll get one done this fall. Kind of excited about doing that. A little color run action. Put 500, 600 more miles on it this fall again. But at the end of the day, though, I didn't change the oil since last September, so I thought, well, time to change the oil. It's been about 4,000 or 5,000 miles. Better get that done. And I was watching a David Freiberger section talking about his Jeep, and he talked about what oil to put in to get rid of the tick that you get from these six cylinders. So I'm like, okay, let's put that oil in. Nothing fancy, high mileage Valvoline type of deal. That's for these old engines. And so I went with that and took it to the local shop around here because I wanted to get some coolant kind of leveled off too. And they had the time and I didn't have the time, and I was getting work done while they were working on my Jeep, so I was all happy with everybody. Got the oil changed, and then within a couple days, I'm driving home, looking at my underneath my Jeep, because everybody should look underneath every now and again to see if there's any oil leaking. Sure enough, oil everywhere. I could smell the oil when I parked too. It's one of those things where your Jeep has a different smell to it, but this one's definitely smelled like brand new oil just burning. So I knew something was up. So again, talking to my buddy Wade, who sometimes can be a big pain in the butt when he's just like, doesn't want to help me. I could tell he didn't want to help on this one at all. He's got his own issues going on right now. He's waiting for parts to get his axle put back together, and it's because he blew his diff. And so he's, you know, not feeling like helping me out, especially since he knew this job was a hot mess. And I told him after I got done, I'm like, okay, I can see why he didn't want to help. It's a mess to get underneath it, especially oil everywhere. So what happens is, I took it back to the shop because I thought they overfilled the oil. I'm like, could that be caused the oil to go everywhere? And here it wasn't that. It was more the gasket was just time to go. Around 150,000 miles, these gaskets, the valve cover gasket, is what I'm talking about. They're going to go on these six cylinders. So it's common. Kind of knew it was coming. Wade just did his, probably 15,000 miles ago. So right around 160, I think he does his. So mine's closing in at that same number. So I figured that's what it was when I took it to the shop. They told me. Now, here's the deal. They know what they're doing, and they quoted me 3 hours of work to get it done. So I don't know what I'm doing. And I'll share with you how long it took with me at the end with the test drive. So I ordered the parts right away. I told Wade, hey, I ordered the parts, and I got the parts, and he stayed waiting on his, and he says, just do it yourself. You can do it. He said it in more colorful language, basically, like, I don't want to help. That's basically he said. So I'm like, all right, well, I had time. This was last Friday. I started at 2 o'clock, just before 2 o'clock. I was also doing some yard work. I'm like, I'm going to tear into this. It was 1 o'clock. Nope, 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock, because it took me, I'll tell you right now, it took me 2 hours and 5 minutes to complete it by myself with a test drive. This is me never doing it before. So I knew I needed a tool, and I need one of those wobble joints or universal joints, whatever you want to call them, to get a couple bolts loose. And I kind of thought maybe I could have got a 7/16 ratchet wrench instead in there. The bolt I'm talking about, there's actually 10 bolts that hold the gasket on. The valve cover on to get to the gasket. There's 10 bolts. And the last two, when I say the last two, I mean the two closest to the windshield, which would be the back two, are hard to get at, especially a one. You kind of need a little wobble joint to kind of help you get in there, universal joint to get around that corner. It's hard to get it with ratchet. It's a pain in the butt. Getting it loose isn't the problem. It's actually the getting it back tight. To me, it seemed like the bigger problem, because I did not want to use my, drill or anything to kind of make it tight, because I didn't want to over tighten these things. I tend to do that, so I was trying to do just kind of like a wrist tighten, as you could say, not using the whole handle on the ratchet wrench when I was doing it, or the ratchet, because I just didn't want to put too much torque down on this. So anyhow, long story longer. First step is taking all the crap off. So I watched a video. Guy did a pretty good job of explaining what everything was. He had an XJ. It was an XJ without AC, so it made it look way easier. Obviously, mine has AC. But getting all the lines off, getting the things out of the way. There's some plastic holds the wire loom. That was the biggest pain in the butt. And I think I broke that off because it's really old plastic. But I'm like, I'm not going to replace that because it's just kind of keeping the wire loom off of your head. And it's still keep doing its job. It's just not pristine anymore. So I'm pulling it off. This was about a 10-minute video this guy had. And so I thought, well, if he can do this video in 10 minutes, it shouldn't take me too long. So I tore into it. Pulling all those things off. And I take, what do y'all have to take off? Oh, the breather lines, the there's a fuel rail. I don't quite take the fuel rail off. You guys know what you're talking about. You're listening to this and you go like, I know what he's not talking about, but that's not what it is. Basically, just a few things you got to pull off. And I had to loosen up where your AC lines come in. I loosened that up and I just barely got that out of the way so I could sneak the valve cover off. Everything else came off pretty easily. The only thing is it was just a hot mess. I mean, we have oil everywhere. And so I got it all off and I put... your intake too comes out too. And so I put a little rag in there just so I'd have something fall into it, like a piece of oil fall into the intake, or whatever, chunk of dirt. So covered everything up that I could. The coolant lines came off too, so I covered that up so it wouldn't spill coolant all over the place. But came off pretty relatively easy. I just followed the instructions the guy had online. Had all the parts I needed. I came with new grommets, reused the little metal, what do you call those things, spacers. Kind of like a bush, not a bushing, but it's a spacer. Reused those, and I was going to give a nice, really good cleanup job, but I don't have a parts wash. I had a scrubbing brush, and I just put it into a big bin and just got all the loose crap off I could. Then when I was put it back together, I just had a cleanish surface to work with. The mating surface was clean, so I didn't have to worry about that. Slapped down the new gasket, tightened it down. But the biggest part problem was getting that far back, closest to the windshield bolt, back tightened up. The middle ones were all pretty dang easy. Ones in front, all pretty easy. It was just that one to get it back. And so I was in there like a 16th turn at a time with my hand, just getting it down, and then moved to, I used just a box end wrench, just a wrench, just to do it a little turn at a time. That way I can get it tight and crank it down, wrist tighten it, because I did not want to over tighten it still. Also, I didn't want to use my drill to do it, because I didn't want to over tighten it. So just did it by hand to get it down. I actually tightened them all down by hand, the final one. That way they weren't too tight or cross thread. Name of the podcast right there. But just wanted to get that all in there so I did not cross thread a bolt. I don't want that. Don't want that at all. Did all that work, long story longer. Still leaking oil, but here's why it's leaking oil. Because it's not leaking more oil, it's just leaking off. It's what's left from all the spray. I haven't done a full degrease yet. It's not leaking oil all the motor, it's just dripping off the motor yet from the old oil that was there. So I'm pretty sure that's where we're at. So did Mitch fix it? Well, I'm pretty sure we did, because it's not leaking at the rate, so I'm thinking it's just slugging off what's there. And I have to go through and do a full degrease on the motor. That's probably going to happen here next few days, and then we'll know for sure after a bit. But it doesn't smell anymore, so I'm pretty sure it's not leaking any more oil. I'm hype about it. So this was one that I was a little worried about, because this is getting a little deeper in the engine than I'm used to doing. I'm usually I don't see lifters in my world on a daily basis, but here I saw the lifters, the whole top end of the motor sitting right there. And I was a little bit in a hurry just to try to get that covered back up. Just didn't want to get any dirt in there and everything. Not that I live on a dirt road and people driving by, but you just don't need to have dirt in there. So I was pretty careful getting everything back on and got it all back together. Took it for a test drive. Came back, no problem. You're going to see I'm going to post on Instagram and Facebook. You'll see that I had one of my tools take a ride with me. I had it sitting on a bumper, and that thing made it all the way a couple miles out, a couple miles back, and rode with me, my impact driver. So I thought that was like stowaway tool time. That was pretty funny. But in the end, I got it all buttoned up back together, and no real projects on the Jeep right now. Just those two things that were bugging me that wasn't working well. It always bugs me when something's going wrong, and I always try to make myself in a hurry. And Wade was teasing me. He goes, "Oh, you're going to swear at that thing 15 times and make me come over and help you finish it." And I just took my time, and it's like, well, you got this. And it didn't seem like all that hard to do. So I dove into it, got it done. First time I ever did it. I think the next time I do it, I could probably do it in 90 minutes, to be honest with you. Because if I know what I'm doing, I probably would have done a degrease beforehand, maybe the night before, let it dry off, blow it off with the air. Probably would have done that. That's what I've done different. And I probably would have found, I have ratcheting wrenches, but they're all metric. So I probably would have went and bought at least a 7/16 ratchet wrench, so I have that, maybe even a whole standard set of the smaller sizes, because it's pretty handy to have those ratchet wrenches versus having that little wobble joint guy that you can use, the universal head on there so you can get around corners. I wasn't too keen about using that if I could have had the ratcheting wrench to get back there and zip it in and out. So either way, it's done. I'm happy about it. And then the other thing that went wrong is the third thing that Mitch fix it, he couldn't. So this was my pickup truck, has had a brake issue. So what's going on is when I get low RPMs, I have a 2016 GMC, low RPMs, like if I'm backing out of the garage, all of a sudden I'll lose brakes. It'll just be like I can push the foot all the way to the floor, barely have any brakes. And so if I, put it in neutral, rev it a little bit, put it back in gear, I have brakes again. So I knew it was something in the vacuum or the brake booster, something like that. I'm not a brake expert by any means, but that's been bugging me for a while. And finally, one day I live on a big, near a big hill, and there's a train at the bottom. I could feel myself starting to lose brakes. And so I kind of, held the brake down a little bit while I had a little room, revved it, I kind of power braked it just a bit to get the brakes back. But at that time, I'm like, if I'm the only one who could drive this thing and know how to do that, this way I have brakes, this is stupid. So I said, I'm going to get it fixed. So I called up the dealership, asked them if they could help me. And the guy goes, oh, let me give you a call back. And then I started looking online. That dude, first dude, never called me back, FYI. But then I started looking online. And it was either a recall or a lawsuit. So I figured I was in pretty good shape. So finally, I called back to the dealership again. I said, hey, here's my issue. And I said, all I'm finding online is either lawsuits or recalls. So I think that it's something we should get fixed. And the guy, he found all the same deals. And he figured that's what he repeated back to me one of the recalls they had. I said, that sounds exactly about what I problem I'm having. So we made an appointment because I also had, I got my oil changed somewhere else, and they rotated the tires, but they didn't put the tires back in the right place according to the little computer. So when I had a low tire, I'm like, I was filling the tire up where it was, and it was still low, but the one in the back was getting more air. So they didn't reset the TPMS, whatever they're at. So I went and filled the back one up. That fixed the problem because it said the driver front was low, but when I filled driver front, actually filled the back on the computer. So they had it mixed up. So I was going to have to go to the dealership anyhow and have them fix that issue and then check that tire and end up having on the rim, the bead on the rim was bad. So they fixed that, $50, no big deal. I thought I had the full tire coverage, but I didn't. Another reason why you go to a discount tire. Not sponsored, but they should be. But discount tire would have done that part for free. So kind of bothered me. I thought I had that same deal with the dealership. Didn't have it. But they fixed the brake vacuum. Was a vacuum issue, I believe, on the brakes. Now my truck brakes work just fine. I never realized how much it bothered me until now. I don't have to worry about it. Every time I get in there, I used to always think, is the brakes going to work or not? So I didn't realize. I didn't think it happened all that often, but apparently it happened to me every day, and I just didn't think about it. But now brakes work just fine. Anybody can jump in there and drive it and not have to worry about how to drive it special just to get the brakes to work. So I'm pretty hyped about that. So all in all, I got those three things fixed in the last week and a half. Kind of hyped about that. So now that's kind of all the things that are going on. Well, another thing that happened this past couple weeks that I'm going to kind of introduce to you now is we had a little Jeep get together at Under Pressure Brewing. That was awesome. Got to meet a lot of different Jeepers. A lot of listeners come up and talk to me. If you were there, I caught your name. I remember talking to you, but there was a lot of you guys there. There's probably 20 people, 30 people, whatever. But to me, that's a lot to kind of talk to a bunch of people and try to remember names. I remember one guy named Dean. He showed me his Gladiator. He was just showing it to me, but I know he's a listener and he listened to the podcast. But all of a sudden, it started to drizzle out. He called for like 20% chance of rain like 2 hours later, but I had no top with me at all. I want the Jeep to look good, so I took the whole top off and no doors on me. So like, I kind of probably should get home. If it's gonna start raining, I kind of want to be on my way home before it really comes down. So Dean, I'm sorry I cut you short. I want to talk to you more about your Gladiator. Message me because I want to hear all about it. I kind of want to hear about how people are liking the Gladiators. He had his built up pretty good. He had it only for about a month, I think. So it was looking good after having it for a month, and he sunk a bunch of money into it, making it, more his. And I think he had 37s on there, 3/4 inch lift, lift brand I never heard of before. So kind of want to hear more about that. So, Dean, if you're listening, reach out to me, and maybe we'll get you on here. We'll talk more about your Gladiator. Look pretty nice. I think the big steal of the show that we're gonna have a little update on is Kevin. Kevin Freiberger was there with his J10, looking good. A lot of people had a lot of questions on that. He'll be on the podcast too and kind of talking a bit about that. I think that was kind of the steal of the show. Everybody was, you know, if you have a TJ, a JK, you know, big deal. But if you have a J10 there, people are going to ask you questions. So he'll be on there talking about that sometime soon. He's been on here before talking about it. But now it's starting to look like it's coming together. Then we have other couple other things that are come up. We have a listener event that we're kind of planning on a new off-road area. So more on that coming up in a future episode. I'm going to have my buddy Brad on to talk about that. He kind of introduced the idea. And then we're also going to be talking about some origins of the word Jeep that you may not have heard of. It's the word Jeep has been around longer than you think. So we're going to talk about that in a future episode. So kind of some things to look for. I'm kind of teasing it right now because I want to kind of really bring it up in future episodes and get more into all these subjects. But the listener event was not listener event. This was somebody else's event that I was a Jeep meetup that I jumped in on. A few people came there because they heard about it through the podcast. That's great. Got to meet a lot of people, a lot of new people. Talked to, I forget the guy's name, sorry, but he has an Toyota FJ that he got from South America from his dad, and he brought it up, and he's working on that right now. So I want to talk to that guy a little bit more. Forgot his name, but sorry about that. Can't remember everybody's name. As I'm getting older now, I'm getting them closer to 50. Hard to remember people's names. It's just the way it is sometimes. But the event was pretty fun. I think I got lined up. I'll give you some pictures I'll post online here, but I got lined up next to Chad Zeus's old LJ. He had 35s in that. That's, I think his name is Andrew. Yeah, I think it's Andrew. Boy, or is it Adam? Boy, I'm bad with names. Talked to that guy for like 20 minutes and I can't remember his name. But the new owner, he parked right next to me. And then the other guys on the other side had their CJ and their Bronco, and they had rolled on 40s. So I look like a tiny little guy on 33s, just tiny. But that's what I go roll with. Who cares? But it was pretty fun to be there around a bunch of other Jeep people, talking Jeeps, talking about off-roading, talking about history, things we want to do in the future. Getting together with people is fun. Even if you're not really off-roading, just getting together and hanging out and talking about what y'all working on. So, but again, listen for those future meetups, Jeep meetups, and also for a future listener event, listener rides, preview on some land that's going to be opened up sometime soon. So, again, thanks for listening to the Crossroad Off-Road Podcast, and talk to you soon. Again, thanks for listening to the Crossroad Off-Road Podcast, brought to you by Prime Shape Fitness. Why help people in person and online, in small groups, large groups, one-on-one, you name it. Just reach out to me. If you're looking to get in better shape, lose weight, tone up, you name it, I can help you out. I've been doing it since 1999. So reach out to me on Facebook, PrimeShapeFitness.com, or Facebook, Prime Shape Fitness. Find me. We'll talk.